Fist of Luck and Ella Luck. Ella John Williams had a very good time. Thank God for that. I want to look at this. We're coming up on Mother's Day. I thank the Lord for keeping Sister Tiangelo Rogers through the funeral, through the different things she's going through. I talked to her this afternoon. She's doing well. If you have a mind to, give her a call from time to time. Tell her how much you're praying for and how much you love her. And just bless the Lord on her behalf. She's doing well. And Lord's keeping her because she's got a lot going on right now. But we thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I was looking the other day, we're coming up on Mother's Day and on Sunday, and tonight I was reading books on mothers in the Bible, the different ones. They got every kind. And I was looking at the ones that really depend on God, like the widow with Elijah and the Shunammite woman, the widow with Elijah. The other widow was Elisha and Zarephath, and in both cases, you know, they had difficult situations come in their lives. They were single moms, and one day when she gets around to Minister Smith had said that she really wanted to have a seminar and talk to the younger women, because we're always preaching and teaching, but we are not up to date because we have so many single moms and working moms. So one day, maybe when the Holy Spirit gives it to her, she'll preach that out. But they were single moms, and they weren't planning on being single. I don't think any, you know, nowadays, women and men have become so evil until now. This is the first time in the history of the earth since the Garden of Eden that people plan to be single parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's always, you know, this is a generation where, you know, a generation before this generation, now it's two generations deep, because now they're in their 40-somethings and whatever's, but, you know, it's the first time really where people have made it acceptable to be a single mom.
Yeah.
And even though there are many times where young men impregnate women that they're not married to, and young women get pregnant by men they're not married to, it's never been as acceptable as it is today, not in the United States, maybe in Babylon and Rome or someplace, but in the United States it hasn't been. So that you have a statesman for a country who is also, you know, into idolatry, and that's, what's the name,
Rihanna.
And you're a statesman and a hero of the country, but you're pregnant and not married. Once upon a time that should be such a scandal. And it irritates people even today. You know, when some of us who are older say, well, you know, once upon a time that would have been a scandal. And the reason that it's not scandalous now is because people have become so ungodly and so morally lax they accept it. If you end up being a single mom, then I pray the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, and you can be saved and sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and run on for God. And there are more women who are single moms than you think. But the point of it is that the reality of just being one when you don't have to be one is a different story.
Yes,
that's true. There are many situations, even in the Bible, where women were in situations they weren't planning on being in, and they would reach out to God, and God would lift them up, and they would go on in God, and the Lord would see them through. And one single mom's husband was, he was a prophet, and he died, and she had to reach out because her sons were going to be carried away and made slaves out of it.
Yeah.
And then you have the widow, Zarephath, or whatever it is, Zarephath, and, you know, she has hard times, she and her son, and they're just, you know, they're different situations and things. But and the Lord will help and deliver, even when you do ungodliness on purpose. If you will turn and repent to God, God will forgive you.
Yes, he will.
And the Lord will pick you up, and the Lord will receive you. But we must never, ever get to a point where we don't preach and teach the people that they need the Lord.
Yes.
And we can't play the game. It was a funny thing. Elvis Smith and I were looking at how lax people get today, and I was looking at this lady on TV, and I was thinking about it. So, you know, when we talk about how people dress and how they come to church and whatever, we've long since got away, at least I have, from getting away from everybody's got to wear dresses down to the ankles, and men got to wear ties every day. And once upon a time, you know, in my generation, that's the way it was. But I don't feel that way anymore.
But there has to be, but you can't just say, well, people can just come any way they want to, because I told Paula, I said, what happens if a person comes in naked and says, hey, well, I'm a nudist? What do you do with that? You know, you that's yeah. got. And so if you say, well, we can't have that, then you understand we can't have everything.
Yes, right. Yes.
We can have some leniency for and make allowances for the times. I know I'm doing that.
Yes.
But some things go beyond the pale. It's like even when it comes to the homosexuality and things like that. You can say, well, we're going to accept all the homosexuals and we're going to do all this and whatever. But what about when the real pervert comes in and says, well, if you put up with them, why don't you put up with me?
Yeah.
You know, this is what they like. This is what I like.
Yeah.
And I even look at that. You know, I say about it even when we talk about the homosexuality and things like that. Well, when it really comes down to it, you know. You put up, it's like the difference between putting up with marijuana versus alcohol. If you're going to put up with alcohol, you may as well put up with marijuana.
Yes.
And it's the same thing about that. If you're going to put up with, you know, if you're going to put up with adultery, you know, deacon and deacon, you know, deacon so-and-so and the Christian education lady and the whoever,
yes.
you're going to put up with them, you may as well put up with everybody else.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But my bottom line is really we need to preach and teach people to repent.
Yeah.
And come out because, you know, God expects holiness. And you can't get God not to expect holiness.
Yes.
Because he gave you the cleaner to clean you up so you can be holy.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we can expect him not to expect holiness if we had no way of becoming holy. But we do.
Yes.
And it's too easy to do and too easy to maintain. We allow ourselves to get dirty.
Yes.
Once God cleans us up, we allow ourselves to get dirty.
Yeah, sure.
God will keep you clean. As a guy in Walker said, won't he make you clean inside?
Yes,
God.
Yes,
we allow ourselves to get dirty.
Yes.
You're probably not wallowing in the dirt on the ground, but you're walking in a dust storm. What do you expect? you go into a house where people, you know, if you're in a house where people smoke, when you come out, you smell
like smoke.
That's right.
And not, you know, I'm not saying that to anyone, but I'm just saying.
Yes, that's
you
right.
You know, if you, those hands say, if you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
Right.
So when we look at all the situations involving mothers and various others, there is one person that fixes everything, and that's God.
Yes, yes.
So in the Bible, you have both kinds. You have good mothers. You have mothers like Hannah that really prayed and really came to God and wanted something from God. And then you have horrible mothers like Jezebel, who taught her son to go into sin and took her husband into sin and just, you know, and did all kinds of things. You have women of every type. You have the kind that's very chaste like Ruth and you know, and very solemn and very holy. And then you have the ones that just fast like Bathsheba.
Yes.
You know, when you really come down to it, isn't that right? Wouldn't Bathsheba fast? Wouldn't you say she's fast? Shasha says she thinks she's fast. I mean, and by the day, Ella Russell, your sister Russell, wasn't she fast? Ella Jenkins think Bathsheba was fast. Yes, yeah, she was.
If she was
around today, you know what we call her? Fast.
Yes.
And you know they say about her church, she needs to have a fast meltdown. Yes, they would.
Yeah, that's right.
She wasn't fooling.
No, she was. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
You know, just fast.
Yeah.
So I say that because you have every kind of mother you can name in the Word of God, and God was there for every one of them.
Yes.
That would have him, regardless of what they were, how they were, and clean them up when he could.
Yes.
To the degree that he could. So, as we're Mother's Day is to honor mothers. So the other day I was, and the reason I said, well, why tonight? Because there's this lady on the corner, Paula pointed out to me the other day, but I saw the lady. She's out in front of Walmart and she's begging with her baby in a stroller. And usually the whole family's out there, including the man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right behind a big sign in front of Walmart that says, mm-hmm. in front of Sam's Club, that says, work is needed in every position.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what's up with this. But even more so, I'm thinking to myself, and then I want all of us to be honest. Somebody said, I got Ella Paulette on here. She's a pastor. I got Ella Angela Jenkins on here. That's why I'm on the floor tonight teaching instead of preaching. Elder Latham out here, Elder Russell and Russell. Does anybody here know a church that if someone went to on a regular basis, we would allow them to stand on the corner and beg?
No.
Does anybody know of a church that if someone would go on a regular basis, that we would allow them to stand on the corner and beg? Don't tell me that you went to this church for a while, you just went, sucked up all this hospitality you could, got as much money as you could, got as many freebies as you could, and but you wouldn't go.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's a church in the city that would have one of their members, and I don't care about denomination, stand on the corner and beg if it is a regular member.
No.
I just don't believe it.
No.
I do not believe it. You can't convince me that there's a church in this city, big or small, that if someone came and went to church on a regular basis, they wouldn't help them to do better.
Yes.
They'd help them get a job. They'd help them find some place to stay.
Yes.
But you couldn't just use their hospitality and then drop off the grid.
Right. No.
I'm talking about if they come in and let the Lord save them, just come for all the freebies, but come in and get the gospel that we give. You see, what they're running from is the gospel.
Yes.
What they don't want to have is the gospel. I get people call me up and say, y'all pay rent? I do. I pay rent for my house. Well, I don't really, because my house is paid for. But you get my point.
Yes.
They don't say, when is your service, or can I come to your service? Do y'all, you have a lot of nerve. I answer the phone, says, is this the pastor? Yes, the pastor. I just want to know, does your church pay people's rent? You didn't ask me, what does your church preach?
Yeah.
Are you a gospel church?
Yes.
Do y'all read y'all's Bible? Are you a prayer and preacher? That's a fair question.
Question, yes.
Do y'all pray?
Yeah, that's right.
Do y'all have regular services?
Yes.
When do y'all have services? Yeah,
that's
do y'all read y'all's Bible?
Yes.
Are you a Bible-based church? Do y'all believe in the Holy Ghost? Do y'all speak in tongues?
Yeah.
Any of those questions. And what do you ask me? Do y'all pay people's rent? And I mean not once, but many times. One lady called me up. And she said, she said, well, I'm living in a hotel, and I've been supported by Niceville Methodist Church, which is a huge church. She's been in the hotel for weeks, and finally they put her out of the hotel because they said they weren't going to pay her hotel bill anymore.
Well, yeah.
So I said to her, I didn't even know they were going to stop. I said, did you go to the pastor? Did you go to the pastor? Well, I haven't talked to him yet. I said, well, won't you go to the pastor? I said, as a matter of fact, who is the pastor? Well, she couldn't think of the pastor's name.
Wow.
Hey, come on now.
Church.
Yeah, you ought to at least do the church knowledge of knowing the pastor's name. They paid your rent. And they cut her off. She had been in there for, she said, about 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And wasn't that nice of them?
Yes, it was. Huh?
So I saw this lady standing on the corner with her child, and it really grieved me, because I said, we're always on Mother's Day, and rightly so, we honor all the mothers that are good mothers, and we never talk about, but you know what you need to do, what we need to do? We need to try to win some of the mothers that are not such good mothers.
Yes.
And we need to preach a gospel where they do come in, and those mothers that are good mothers need to stay good mothers, and they need God to do so. And I feel sorry for them, because like I said, I am sure that there's not a church in this city. I just, if I'm wrong, I'm just wrong. But I'm sure that if you came in Promise on Tuesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, if you came in here on a regular and were a regular member, and we could count on for, we won't even say a year, 3 months to 6 months, we would be, because in 3 months' time, I'm sure we could get you on your feet.
Yeah. Yes, God.
If you come in here and obey God and let God bless you like God has blessed us, in 3 months' time, you would be on your feet.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be because we're feeding you out of our house. No, we're not going to take you home and put you in a room in our house. We can't do that these days. No, we're not going to sign for a building for an apartment for you to live in and sign our name to. We can't do that these days.
No.
But we'll bring you in here, put you in a halfway house or something, get you there for a little while, do and pray for, and the Lord will give you a miracle.
Yeah.
God will give you a miracle.
Yeah.
Look in 1 Kings tonight. 2 Kings tonight.
2 Kings.
2 Kings. And. And I want to look at Second Kings, and I want to look at chapter 6. Because I thought about that woman, I said, this woman is desperate, but why won't she call on God? Listen, don't ever stop being around God, especially if you have children. For God's sake, if you have children, stay in God.
Yeah.
No matter what, don't let anybody pull you out of God.
Yeah.
In 2 Kings, in the 6th chapter, verse 24, and it came to pass after this, and everybody look up. If you read up to this point, I'll tell you what's going on. Before this time, bands of Syrians would come down and raid Israel. And this is when they surrounded them one time, and Elisha told his servant, said, you know, open his eyes so he can see in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw Elisha pray unto the Lord, said, smite these people with blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes them captive to Israel. And then Israel is good to them. And when Israel has them captive and bound, and the Lord gives them sight, Israel lets them go. They go back home. And then after this, some years later, the Syrian army this time comes against Israel.
Yeah.
Because since Israel wouldn't obey God, they were always being besieged by something. When you don't obey God, even though you claim to know God, something will always be in your life.
Yeah.
I'll say that again.
Yeah.
Even though you know who God is, if you won't obey God and stay in God and insist on being on the edge with God, something will always come in your life.
Yeah.
Because God will allow you to see what life is like without Him. Because God wants you to stay. He knows that you need to stay more than you need to stay. And the only way He can get you to see that is by causing it to cause you to suffer in your environment. Because you don't have enough of the Holy Ghost to hold on to God. You haven't gotten the revelation yet that only in God is there life. You might have lots and lots and lots of knowledge, but you don't have the revelation that only in God is life. And Israel has the covenants, they have the commandments, they have the ordinance, they have the statutes, they have all this, and yet they're dispersed throughout the world because they will not come to the reality that the only way they can make it is with God.
Amen. Yes.
And the Syrians come upon them, and in verse 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a calf of dove's dung, you know, for 5 pieces of silver. Do you see what they're eating and how desperate they have become? And if you look at that money-wise in the references of the date, that means that the donkey's head sold for $200 and a cup of bird poop sold for $5, $2, whatever.
Wow.
It was. That's how bad it was.
That was desperate.
They were desperate.
Yeah.
Don't you think by now they would have called on God?
Yes.
And he says, and as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman to him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? And out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. In other words, he says, if you can't get an answer from God, don't depend on me. I'm the same boat you in. He says, I don't have anything. I don't have any grain in the barn. I don't have any wine in the wine presses. He says, the Lord doesn't help you. Nothing I can do for you. I feel like saying that to people because, you know, if they won't let the Lord help them, then there ain't nothing else anybody can do for them.
Yes.
And so he says to them, and so she said to him, and the king said to her, what aileth thee? What's wrong with you? And she answered, said, this woman said unto me, give, and the woman said unto me, give me thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. Now, how desperate can you get?
Right.
How desperate can you get? Say, well, you know, I'd never get that desperate. Not, one, I wouldn't get desperate enough to give my child to be eaten, and two, I wouldn't be desperate enough to eat someone else's. This shows the depravity that people will go to rather than call on God.
Yes.
Because the king said to them, why are you calling on me? I don't have anything for you. He says, why don't you call on the Lord?
Yes.
He says, I don't have anything. I'm going through the same famine you're going through. You need God. I live in the same situation that the woman on the corner lives in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living in the same country. I got the same people in politics. I got taxes she probably don't even have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got it. When it rains on her, it rains on me.
Yeah.
When hurricanes come through here on her, they come through here on me. When it gets night on her, it gets night on me.
Yes.
I have to eat just like she has to eat. But the difference is, I call on God. Say, it's all about God. It is all about God. Because if I didn't have God, I could be on that corner myself.
That's right. Amen.
If I didn't have God, assuming I was living.
Yes.
Because when you don't have God, this is why the devil makes people. You know, you gotta have another spirit. You don't just be serving the God of heaven and decide, I'm gonna eat your baby. We're gonna eat our babies.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You have to have another spirit.
Yeah.
And you're not planning on having another spirit. It just comes.
Yeah.
Eve wasn't planning on becoming a sinner. She just obeyed the serpent, and when she did that, she became that.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't planning on. You know, young people aren't planning on getting hooked on drugs. They just won't try it.
Right, yes.
They're not, you know, young girls, you know, well, not so much now, because now for a while, you know, even maybe it's still so. I'm convinced that young women get pregnant now because it's fashionable, because they don't have to be pregnant.
Right.
And they don't have to be holy. They don't have to be nothing. They can just take a pill, take a shot, get a patch, get whatever.
Yes.
So the only reason why they get pregnant is because they want to be.
Yes.
Or they're trifling, one or the other.
Yes.
But the truth of it is, in most young women that are going somewhere, they probably don't plan on getting pregnant.
No.
But they're doing what you do to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't plan on falling in sin, but you're doing what people do to fall in sin.
Yes.
And people who know God don't plan on backsliding, but you're doing what people do to backslide.
Yes.
And you're not planning on having that spirit come on you. But you're putting yourself in a place and in a position where that spirit is. Israel wasn't planning on being in the shape they're in, but they, through the years, put themselves in a place and in a position so that they could be like they are. This is the state that they've gotten to, where they're eating their own babies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is pretty bad. They, you know, when they went across Jordan, I was reading the Old Testament the other day because I was trying to put myself together for what I'm teaching on Sunday mornings in Christian education in the Old Testament. And I noticed when they went across the Jordan, the last thing God told them, even with Joshua, when he says, when you go in here, drive out all the idolatry.
Yes.
He says, I'll be with you, and I'll go before you. He says, get rid of the idolatry. He says, because if you keep it, he says, it's going to become a snare unto you and a thorn. He says, but because you're not going to change these idolaters.
Yeah.
So get rid of them. You need to know when you can change something and when you can't.
Right, yeah.
It's like trying, you know, it's like for years, you know, I used to quit smoking. And I quit smoking a little at a time. I said, I'm going to try to cut back. You either smoke or stop.
Stop, yes, that's right.
You don't cut back. You either smoke or you stop.
Yep.
Because as long as you smoke, there's always a reason to smoke more.
Yes.
You know, get a traffic ticket. I went smoking myself. I got this traffic ticket. And the cigarettes paid for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And took the points off your license. You know, get a reprimand on your job. Well, you know, I got a reprimand on my job. So I just got to have a cigarette. Like, that undoes it.
Right, yes.
Like, that fixes it.
Yeah.
You either smoke, and it's the same way with all things that draw you into the world, pulls and draws.
Yes.
And you have to decide some things in the world, and the Lord has me teaching it, but you know, and because he's speaking to me about it, some things in the world I must use money in education. I've been saying it for weeks, but I have to each time see how it affects me and God.
Yes.
I'm not asking anybody. God doesn't ask anybody. Matter of fact, asceticism is something that is idolatrous. It's contrary to God. God's not asking anybody to go live up in the Himalayas someplace all by themselves. Because, you know, that's not God. And you can sit up there by yourself and be in sin.
Yes.
Still not have God. But as you use the things in the system of the world, you must say to yourself, including friends and family and everything else, how does this person, these persons, this thing, Jesus was forever asking himself, and looking at himself and saying, how does my family affect my walk in God, my Father? I've got to obey my Father.
Yes.
And when I'm in here preaching and my family comes to pull me out, I've got to obey my Father. And when I'm preaching and ministering and doing what I'm doing and my brothers want to draw me away, I've got to obey my Father.
Yes.
How does it affect me in God? In Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, and God had told them, They decided, since they were smarter than God, we're not going to get rid of these people. They'd make great servants.
Yeah.
We're not going to get rid of these people. They can help us farm land.
Yeah.
We're not, they're good people. They don't have our God, but they're good people. You know how we do it? They're good people. Well, we're stuck with them now. But in the course of time, then you have someone like Balaam comes along, and he says, let these Moabite women come into the camp, and you'll really overthrow Israel. And that's exactly what they did. And then eventually, it gets so bad through the years that by the time you get to this point, Israel is on the brink of no longer even being Israel at all.
Yes.
And God is allowing it to get worse and worse and worse, and yet they will not turn back to God.
Yes.
I was reading the story today. I know Elder Russell knows it. The story where they get the parable, and I can't remember who's writing it. It might be Ezekiel or one of them. And he talks about Apola and Abola or whatever name, the two daughters, two whores, and their sisters. And the older one, he says, is laying with everybody and sleep with everybody from her youth and never, ever was anything other than a prostitute and a whore. And the younger one came along and she was worse than the first. And he's using them as an analogy, is that what it is, Sean girl, or allegory of Israel and Judah. And the older one is Israel, and he says she started leaving God and prostituting herself out to the other nations. And then the younger one, he's talking about Judah, said when she came along, she was worse than the first one.
First one, yeah.
So this is where Israel is. And so these two women have gotten to a point where now they have fallen so far from God, they're eating their babies. Mm-hmm. And one of them, they eat one of them's baby, and the other one decides, well, I don't want to eat my baby, so she has her baby.
Yeah.
This is how bad things have gotten. These are mothers. How does a mother get to a point like that without God?
Yes.
Without having God. How do you have mothers sitting on the corner begging without God?
Yes.
Without God. You won't have God. And you can quote all the scriptures to me you want, but like I said before, I am sure. I know enough about church folk. You can say what you want to about good church, bad church, indifferent church, but I know enough about church people. I know enough about them where they're not going to have one of their members sitting on the corner begging.
Yeah.
On a daily basis. This is not going to do it.
Yeah.
Sister so-and-so or somebody going to carry him food. We're going to do something.
Yes.
It's just not going to happen. The only way you're out there is you just decide you don't want my God.
Yes. Right.
You don't even want to come and hear about my God. Because often I've said to people who call me up, I always say, they said, do you do this? And I said, well, generally we don't, because we don't have a large church and we don't have a fund for this. I said, but if you will come to Bible study, we can talk about it. And I mean it.
Yes.
If you can come to Bible study, maybe we can work something out.
If you can
just walk through the door, maybe we can figure something out.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to give you a salary for a year because you walk in one time.
No.
Right.
But if you start coming, we can work with you. But it's not us that you need to work things out. It's God. You see, because when you finish reading down here, you get down in chapter 7 and about verse 3. And in the same time when the Syrian camp is all around them, there are some lepers, four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said to one another, why sit we here until we die? We can enter into the city. Then the famine of the city, we shall die there. And then they say, let's go to the camp of the Syrians. And at 5, and they rose up at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they come to the utmost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. And then the story goes on and says, and they went in, and there was gold and silver and food and everything they needed.
Yeah.
Because you find out that God had already ran all the Assyrians out. Let me see if I can find that part.
And the Lord made the host of the Syrians.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel is hired against us, and the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. God has already set a table in front of these people.
Mm.
Their enemies have fed them.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace.
Be
peace,
yes.
Their enemies have fed them.
Yeah.
And it takes someone who has an outcast, somebody they least expect to go and find the food. And the king is so afraid, he still won't go out till he sends somebody out there to find out whether it's real or not. But the point being is, these women should have waited before they ate that baby.
Yeah, they should have waited.
They should have waited. Yes.
Because God was making a way. You see, we're so busy making our own way, we don't wait for God to make a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't see how God's going to work things out. We're surrounded by Assyrians. We're in a famine. What are we going to do? Hey, King, help us out. My problem is not that I need to be delivered from the famine. I need you to help me find this woman's baby so we can eat him. Mm-hmm. That's what the woman said her problem was. Is that her problem?
Yeah.
Her problem is not how to get through the famine. Mm-hmm. It's not how to call on God. Yeah. I need you to help me because this woman, we ate my baby and she hid her baby. We need to find, you need to make her give me her baby to eat. Mm-hmm. That's what she's calling on him for.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not work it out. I'm inviting you to come to Jesus so you can work it out. You have a problem that's bigger in life than not having money, and that's not having salvation.
Yeah.
I want you to come so you can hear the word of God, so that you can hear the word of the Lord, so that not only are you set for the night, but you're set for forever.
Yes.
I want you to come to the one who delivered me. You need to come to the one that ran that Syrian army off and set the tables before you.
Yeah.
You need to come to them. But the only thing on her mind is, I need you to find this woman's baby so we can eat it. I just need you to throw me some corns as you come around the corner. I just need you to go across the street. It's curious to me how you just happen to be begging across the street from Chick-fil-A. And I just need you to walk across there, as many people do, and get me a nice bag of food.
Yes.
And, you know, and as long as I can do this, then me and my babies will be here in the shade of this big hedge tree that's here every day, because people are coming in and out of Science Club all day long. But we can't get you to come to our church. And surely, if the holiness people haven't invited you, I'm sure the Jehovah's Witnesses have.
Yes.
And I'm sure the Mormons who ride up down the street all day long have done it.
Yes.
And every other night, and I know we have all these evangelistic preachers who have a little church on every corner, but this is a little church too right now. I mean, as far as people go, not many people. I am sure that some of them have brought you a meal and given you a card.
Yes.
I'm sure.
And you can make it out there to this corner every day, but you can't make it to anybody's church where God is.
Yes.
Where the deliverer is.
Yes.
Where everything you need is.
Yes.
You don't seem to get that the way that, you know, the preacher who comes by, the person who's feeding him, if he's a good preacher, is God.
Yes.
You want him to, you came to the king, and the king says to you, why don't you call the Lord? Is that what he said? I'm sure he said that.
The Lord. Yes.
He said to her, why don't you call the Lord?
Yes.
Lord, help me. 26.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the woman said, help me, O Lord, my king. She's talking to the king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, how can I help you? In other words, he says, why don't you call on the Lord? If the Lord's not helping, what do you expect me to do? You need to call on the Lord. But the only thing on her mind is, I can solve this situation. I'll just eat this woman's baby if I can find it. Never mind that we don't have any more. But right now, the only thing on my mind is not call on the Lord and fall down and worship God and repent to God and say, Lord, I have sinned, and Lord, bring me out, and Lord, deliver me, and Lord, turn me, you know, turn things around, and Lord, fight my battle for me.
Yeah.
I just need, you know, me and this woman have entered into a pact.
Yeah.
We will both work it out for the both of us. We each have a kid. We'll just eat them and live for another day or a few more days as long as it lasts.
Yeah.
You know, we're making our way along, you know, like we've always done. We can work it out for the minute.
Then I'll turn to cannibalism.
But what I need to do
is being God.
Yes.
And Moses told them in Deuteronomy, and again in Leviticus, he said, the days are coming when you're going to start eating your own fruit.
Yes.
He says, you're going to get so bad off, you're going to be so far out there. But at the time, they didn't see it. He says, you're going to get so bad. And you say to people who are in the house of God, and to young people and old people alike, you say, don't let yourself get drawn out there because it can get bad.
Yes, that's right.
And you'll do things that you said you would never do.
Yes.
Or you'll do things that you left long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be someplace where you don't need to be.
Yes.
These people have, these are the children of God. How are they becoming, as Ella Paul said, how are the children of God in cannibalism? How are the children of God getting to a point where they can eat their babies? Well, I guess it's not hard to eat your babies since you don't mind offering them up as sacrifices.
Yeah. Yes.
You've already gotten to the point where you're giving them, where you're causing them to pass through the fire. You're burning them for Dagon and doing all those things. You see how quickly you can go downhill?
Yes.
Yeah,
and you sit out there, and you got this, you got this mind that you know who God is, so nobody can tell you. Oh, the devil will fool you every time.
Yes,
didn't he come to Jesus and say to Jesus, if you're this, command these stones to turn into bread. Do all these things. He came to Eve and said, this. Didn't God say, I was there when he said it, didn't God say you can eat out of all these trees?
Yeah,
oh, you won't show. And the devil comes and says, you know the word, because people have said it. There's nothing more that grates on my nerves more than when I see you suffering and you need my dollar. And when I start telling you about Jesus, you want to quote scriptures to me.
Yeah. You stand on the corner.
But I got...
Yeah, I got.
Yes.
But when I start, you want my dollar. But when I start saying to you, you should come to the Lord, and the Lord will work things out because He's a kind and compassionate Father. And if you come out to Him, you'll be His sons and you'll be His daughters. And you want to turn around and start quote scriptures to me.
Yeah.
And you know who that is? That's the devil.
Yes.
And you know what I'm gonna start doing? I'm gonna start saying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I know who's talking.
Amen.
Just like Jesus knew who was talking.
Oh, yes.
When he started quoting scriptures, Jesus knew who it was. He knew exactly who it was. Here you are, you're quoting scriptures, but the Lord's not blessing you.
Right. Yes.
And I'm trying to get you delivered, and you're trying to quote scriptures to me.
Yes.
And it happens every time. Sooner or later, they say, well, the Bible says, well, if you know all that about the Bible, I'm going to stop being nice.
Yes.
You know all that about the Bible. Why are you out here suffering?
Yes.
Because the Bible also says, I'll neither leave you nor forsake you. Why are you going through what you're going through?
Yes.
Why are you on drugs and you can't get off?
Yes.
Why are you in situations that you can't get out of?
Yes.
And don't tell me that you're a witness for God living like that because you're not.
Yes.
Mm. Well, the Bible says that some of them were poor and they were destitute. Yes, but they were advanced, but they had something going on in God. They had the power and the Spirit of God. What do you got going on? You can't even turn down a drink. You don't have enough power not to drink a drop of liquor, smoke a cigarette. How do you have enough power to be in God?
Yeah.
Who are you delivering? Where are you? And I know we make it. We say all the time, well, we need to be nicer, and I agree. We need to be nicer. We need to be kinder. But sometimes...
Yes.
You have to pull them out the fire.
Yes.
And when you find the ones that are hardcore and they want to tell you they got more word than you got, they're in the fire.
Yes.
Because if you know all that word and Satan still got you, you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to know a whole lot of the word of God and backslide anyway.
Yes.
Don't you know when the Bible talks about if we sin willingly?
Yes.
There remain no more sacrifice for sin?
Yes.
It's saying when you go back into sin, knowing that Jesus is the deliverer and the Savior, and you go back anyway, then where are you going to turn to come back? Because if you won't listen to the Holy Ghost so that you won't go back, what are you going to do to get back? He's saying to you, there is no other sacrifice. And if Jesus can't save you, there's nothing for you.
That's right.
Got all these people.
Yeah.
Whole family sitting on the side of the... under the sign that says hiring in all positions. All of you out there. And you just got a con going because you got another spirit. You got a con going because you got another spirit. And you're out here, mother, father sometimes, two or three kids, baby on a stroller, but you're not in anybody's church anywhere with any consistency so that they can pray the devil back, so that they can rebuke the devil, so that they can set you free from unclean spirits, so they can say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you and call the demons to leave. Back the devil up so that when you come in and you try and say a word of God, they got a, they have a word of God with the power of the Holy Ghost to shut you down so that you can hear and be saved and be delivered so that you can come to God. You know what it is? The devil really got you.
Yes.
Just like he had these two women. You got to really sink to an all-time low to decide you're going to eat your own baby. And you're going to share it with somebody else. And then you get mad because the other person won't share their baby with you. Mm-hmm. You can't get much lower than that. Mm-hmm. That's where you can go when you won't have God.
Yes.
That's where you can go when you won't have God.
Yes.
That's what happens to people who belong to God who won't have God. People who are supposed to be. These are this is Israel we're talking about. These are not Moabites, Midianites, Hittites, Jebusites, these are not Canaanites. These are Israelites.
Yes.
People who have Jehovah, Abraham's seed.
Yes.
They know Jehovah God. These are people who know about the sacrifice of a lamb without spot and without blemish. These are the people who came out of Egypt.
Yes.
People who are supposed to keep the Passover. These are the people who have the true and living God. This is, you know, these people are supposed to be in God.
Yeah.
And this is where they've come to. And if mothers won't have God, I'm done.
Yes.
If you won't have God, this is where you'll end up. Mm-hmm. And when you see mothers, for Mother's Day, start praying for the ones that really need to come to God because you can see them.
Yes.
And you can tell them, you know what? If you would come to God, God would grow.
I know about God. I feel like I'm going to heaven.
God doesn't have people who are on their way to heaven living like you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because God picks them up.
Right.
Turns them around. You're not glorifying God by sitting out here with your family on the corner.
No.
There's no glory to God like that. Matter of fact, you're really, you know, you're polluting God's holy name because sinners are walking by saying, now, if you claim you're in God, why doesn't he do something about
that? Yes, amen.
How does God let them live like that? Right, cause the people, you know, in what places, you cause the people, you defile the name of God.
Yes,
because you're sitting out there doing that.
Yes.
No, there's no God in you, because if you knew the God I knew, you'd be someplace. I'll say this, and I'm finishing. People can say what they want to. Everybody sitting up in church is not saved, but I will say this. Every saved person does go to church.
Amen.
I don't mean any exception. I don't care what people say. Saved people go to worship. Saved, not every person sitting in church is saved, but saved people go to church.
Amen.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
It is something called the Holy Ghost in them that draws them so that they need the fellowship that comes with being with the people of God. And maybe, and you can point away, everybody in church ain't saved. I know they're not. Wish they were.
Yeah.
But every person in whom the Holy Ghost dwells, there is no such thing as a Holy Ghost filled person who does not belong to a church somewhere.
Amen.
Even in the military, when they go from base to base, the saved people will find a Bible study. They'll find a chapel service. They'll find something where they can go in with people who have the same spirit, spend time. Saved people go to church.
Yes.
When you stop going to church, you're backslidden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't say when you stop going to this church, you're backslidden because you can go to another one. But when you stop going to a church service at all, you are backslidden.
Amen.
If you can live without the people of God, then you don't have God.
Amen.
And I don't mind anybody, and I'll tell anybody that. If you can get to a point where you don't have to be in worship or be with the people of God, even if it's on Zoom, somehow or another, you've got to be in connection with the people of God.
Amen.
Somewhere or another, you must have some fellowship. It might be during COVID, might be on media, might be on this, but somehow or another, there's a connection that has to be made with the people of God because you have the same spirit.
Amen.
Israel at this time is cut off. Everybody standing. And that's why I was singing the song in the first place, because while these women are eating their babies, you know what, Sean? He was there all the time. Because when the lepers get out there, the Syrians have already they're so closed up in themselves. God has already delivered the Syrians in their hands, and they're scared to go out there to see. God have a deliverance for you, and you won't even come to church to see. Isn't that something? God got a blessing for people. They won't even walk in the door to see. God's got a blessing for people. They won't even come and see. Lift your hands, man. They won't even come and find out what God has. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your great blessings and for the word of God and for the people of God. Lord, we thank you so much for every one of us, Lord. Lord, if they're in heaven, they're blessed eternally.
Yes.
But Lord, for every one of us, whoever, whatever, they brought us to the Lord. Lord, I pray those you bless them tonight. Lord, whatever person, mother, father, uncle, aunt, friend, stranger, whoever, Lord, brought us to the Lord tonight, Lord, I pray those you bless them. Wherever they are, Lord, they're sick, healed. Lord, if they're going through something tonight, Lord, deliver them. Lord, do it for the good that they have done for the people of God. Lord, like you told Nehemiah, do it for the good that they have done for the people of God. And Lord, anoint us. The Lord, when we see the mothers sitting on the corner with their babies, Lord, I pray, Lord, move by great power and great spirit of God. Bring them to their knees, O God, that they would come out of darkness into the marvelous light, O God. Lord, I pray, Lord, strengthen us with might by your spirit, Lord, that we back up the evil spirits. Lord, that hold their minds captive, O God. Lord, strengthen us in the spirit, Lord, that we would be able in the name of Jesus to rebuke the demons and hold them captive. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Lord, that they would hear the word of God, would come to repentance. And Lord, I know, Lord, when they call upon you, Lord, you're blessing because you're a blessing God. Lord, if they're homeless, I'm sure, Lord, you'll give them a house. Lord, I'm sure if they're hungry, Lord, you'll feed them. Lord, if they need a way, maybe you'll make a way, Lord. How you all things consist, Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lord, you're a blessing of their come. Lord, anoint us. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us a word. Lift up your precious son, Jesus, the Lord. Lord, that you would bless him in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Okay. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless the man. Lift your hands up. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless him and anoint him on the instruments.
Yes.
Give him complete healing in his body. Lord, touch him. Lord, give him a miracle. Lord, in this overbite and all these different things, Lord, just give him a miracle in Jesus' name. Lord, we commit him into your hands in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless all our babies. Bless the mothers, Lord. Lord, let none go into desperation like these ladies, oh God. Lord, keep them in you. Lord, open their eyes in Jesus'
name.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, lead them on God. And Lord, keep them from the evil one. Lord, don't let the devil turn any of them around, oh God. Lord, keep them in the house of God and in the people of God. Keep them in the love of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, move mightily by your spirit. Lord, we glorify your name. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. You can be seated. I thank God for all of you. It's good to have everybody.